Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the blessed month of Hathor. This is the third month in the Coptic year. And as I told you, that every month has its own theme, its own concept that the church is trying to drive home and make us think about. The first month, the month of Tut, was the love of God the Father for mankind, that God loves each and every one of us, even if we're sinful. Like the tax collectors and the sinful woman, He still loves us. The second month was the month of Baba, and the message was the power of Christ, that our God is a mighty God. He's able to do what He promised to do. He's not just all talk. God is a powerful God. And this month, the month of Hathor, it's all about the Word of God and its importance for our personal life. And this is, we're talking about the Word of God, right? When I say the Word of God, what comes to mind? The Bible, the written Word of God, and what else? The Word of God the Father, the Word. What does that mean? Capital W. Christ Himself. Christ is the Word of God, the Logos of God. So our church is very intelligent. So we start reading about the Word of God, the written the Bible, the beginning of the month, because 2 weeks from now, we're going to start Lent. We're going to start fasting. We're going to start fasting for the receiving the incarnate Word of God, Christ. We're going to start fasting for Him. So we'll start preparing ourselves by being ready to think about the written Word of God so we can receive the actual incarnate Word of God. The first Sunday and next Sunday, we'll talk about the parable of the sower. We're going to hear the exact same reading next Sunday. It's not going to be the same exact sermon though. And also, the third and the fourth Sunday, we'll talk about discipleship and its cost. That to be a disciple of Christ after hearing His Word is not free. And it's not cheap. It's something that you have to actually spend expenses to be a disciple of Christ. So we heard today in the gospel that some fell on the stony places. And where they did not have much earth, they immediately sprang up. But because they had no depths of earth, they basically kind of were scorched by the sun. And they had no root and withered away. We heard that parable of the sower and the seed many, many times. Many times. But I want you to think about something you might not have thought about before. That the sower is the same even in our time and age. The sower is the same. The seeds are exactly the same. It's the same type of grain or seeds. The season of the year is the same. The environment is the same. The temperature is the same. The only variable is where it fell. Did it fall on an ear that's willing to act? Or did it fall in an ear that's willing to just become deaf and just hear and not act? Also, you have to remember those messages that we get from the church are exactly the same seeds that the sower has been spreading for generations. And those seeds that we get are not different from any of the seeds that all the saints got. For example, Saint George. We celebrate him today, the great saint of our church. Did Saint George have an extra Bible? Did he have a different Bible than the one we have? He didn't. It's the same exact Bible. Did Saint George have a different hours for prayers? No, it's probably the same, exactly the same. Did Saint George have a different church, that communion is different, or prayer is different, or liturgy is different? Probably not. Same liturgy, same communion. Did he have additional sacraments that we don't have? No. Exactly what we have today is what St. George had. But he was able to be a fertile ground. He was able to be a good soil for those seeds to fall on and come with fruits. Also, as I was talking the other day, Pope Carolus VI. Did Pope Carolus VI discover the altar? Or the altar was always there? It was always there. What did he do? He made this a connection and commitment to the altar. That way he became a saint. It's the same altar that we have, that you have access to. Also, Abba Abram, the Bishop of El Fayyum, the lover of the poor. Did Amba Abraham discover the poor? He discovered in 1920s that there was something called the poor. Maybe I should take care of them. No, they were always there. Those seeds, those acts of charities were always there. But he kind of was a fertile ground. He was a good soil for those seeds that he heard about taking care of the poor. And he acted on it. That's why he became a great saint. We also need to know that as Bishop Eusebius of Caesarea tells us, that not only the soil is bad in some cases, like the road, like the rocky ones, or like the ones with thorns, but each soil has its own enemy. Each soil has its own enemy. The ones that fall on the roadway, they have no chance of survival. It's bad as it is, but the birds come and eat those seeds. So not only it's bad, it's even worse because you have birds eating them. The ones were among the thorns, same idea, the thorns are choking them. The ones were on the rocky places, yes, they have a little crust to grow in, but then they have the enemy of the sun and being scorched by the sun and the heat of the day, so they have no chance of survival also. So each soil have its own enemy, and that helps us to be a little bit more alert that wherever our soil is, not only it's bad that we're not acting, we also have an enemy that's trying to take it away from us. Today, I would like to focus on just one type of those soils. And this is the most common type that we have, which is the stony places. The stony places. Some of us start in the way of God. Some of us start being good Sunday school kids or good at home or good servants, excited about serving, wanting to serve, wanting to change, wanting to bring people to the kingdom of God. And within 6 months, a year, two, three, these things become dull, become just a chore, something that we have to do. It's just an extra thing, a burden. Because we don't have deep roots of these things deep in our hearts, we have a little thin crust at the top, so that helps us grow first. But then after that thin crust is kind of used, then the rocky heart underneath doesn't allow for any depth or any more advancement in service or our spiritual life. Some of us had true, genuine love for God as kids or as high schoolers or as middle schoolers. But as we grow, we kind of got used to it and that love went away. And some of us, some of the lack of those roots, they start by showing themselves up in our spiritual life. Let me give you an example. Somebody who doesn't have deep roots and the roots are very superficial might start first when those roots are used and now he's hitting the rocky part of his heart. He might start by neglecting his spiritual life, his morning prayer, his evening prayer. By the way, that's not a choice. I'm not sure why we think that those prayers are a choice, are optional. They're not optional. They're mandatory. We're supposed to pray every day. We're required to pray every day. So it starts showing itself in their personal prayer. It's very lax. And then starts to seep into their liturgical prayer. They skip the liturgy here and there, they skip Sunday, they come straight for Sunday school, they skip this, they pick the fastest liturgy and start to show itself there. And then within a short period after that, it starts to show itself in their personal life, their social gatherings, what they do outside the church, what they do outside the home. And sometimes that slippery slope keeps going until it's in places that, you know, we would not have imagined. Because that those roots are not deep. And once you use the thin crust over that rocky heart, there's not much else to go. The gospel tells us that not having those depths is some part of it could be hypocrisy, but that's a whole different sermon by itself. The whole concept of the deep roots I want you to think about today is think about a palm tree. When you watch like on TV during the hurricane season, the palm trees being beaten left and right by the winds. Yet you never rarely see a palm tree being kind of blown away by the wind, despite how fast the wind is. You know why? Because the roots of those palm trees, they go so far deep in the ground that they're keeping it anchored, so much so that no matter what happens on the surface, nothing will happen. Yes, you could be shaken left and right, but you're established, you're firm. These are the kind of roots we need to have in our orthodoxy, in our church, in our faith, in our service. Also, the Bible gives us many examples of people who did not have deep roots. For example, St. Paul talking to the Philippians, he said, "For many of the ones I have told you about praising them, now I weep over them because they have left me. They started good, but they ended up bad. Also, Demas was another disciple of St. Paul. He used to be mentioned next to St. Mark and St. Luke. Unfortunately, we don't have a saint called St. Demas among the followers of St. Paul because Demas left him. Can you imagine, started serving with Paul the Great. And then he kind of walked away. It kind of grew dull on him. He got bored of it. It was a chore. So he ran away from it and he lost. Demas has forsaken me, for he has loved the present world. He did not have any deep roots. The Galatians, St. Paul tells us, they started in the spirit and they continued in the flesh. The angel of the church of Ephesus left his first love. The angel of the church of Sardis, he left where he used to be and started to be somebody else. And there's so many examples. There's a beautiful example I might have shared with you before that Bob Shinoda gave. He said, after St. Mary appeared in Zaytun in 1968, he said, many of the people who are like on the borderline serving, like they serve once a while, they slack, they start to take their service very seriously and start to come regularly to service and very zealous. And he said the church was full with servants and the service starts to pick up greatly. But he said within six months, those servants kind of disappeared. Can you imagine? They saw St. Mary, the mother of God, over her church in Zaytun, and that touched their heart, that got them to serve. But because they did not have deep roots, it only took him 6 months to kind of give it all up and walk away. And he said, I did not see him after 6 months. Can you imagine? So not having deep roots can be very dangerous despite what our personal spiritual life might be, or St. Mary appearing to us, or God appearing to us. If we don't have deep roots, we're not going to go anywhere. Bob Shinoda talks about three main roots I'm just going to mention briefly. The first one is the root of genuine love for God. I love God for himself, not because he gives me things, not because he's nice to me, so I'm going to love him. No, because I love him for his person despite anything else. The second root is the root of faith, trusting him. Even when things don't look great, I still trust him. So that's the second root that Pope Shinoda talks about. And the third root is the root of loving virtues. And you love virtues because you love virtues. It's not because somebody's watching. It's not because of my reputation. It's not because of my ego. It's not because of anything else. I love virtues for their own sake, for virtues themselves. So if we have these three roots, we should be good. We should be good, supported by the divine grace. I would like us to sit today with ourselves and think, which kind of soil are we? And if we're the rocky one, what are we lacking? Are we lacking deep roots for the love of God? Are we lacking deep roots for trusting him? Are we lacking deep roots for love of virtue? We don't really love virtue. We're just doing it because people don't think badly of us. Which one is it? And as we figure which one is it, we need to run to God and ask him to help us and grow these deep roots as we pray in the supplications for the love of oneness, the unity of heart may take root in us. We can ask, may your faith take root in us. May genuine love for you take root in us. May the love of virtues take root in us. And also ask your Father of Confession to help you once you have diagnosed that problem, so he can give you some practices and some exercises that can help you improve. May God turn our hearts into a good soil that rooted deeply in love, faith, and virtues, that we may yield 30, 60, and 100-fold. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.